A61, number 31A.
Yes. So, up to now, you have seen these assignments are actually not additional studies, but it's pondering and working with what we have been doing. And you can do these things here a little, there a little. And now, we go to the next assignment. We have seen during this week that an idea of a synonymous term can be blended with every other synonymous term. We had the power of mind, and so that power is intrinsically a characteristic of mind, but that power can be blended with other synonymous terms. Can be blended with spirit, the power of soul, and so on. But, now comes the but when we blend it, we also must see that this blending is correct. Namely, in most cases we have seen that these blendings are only then correct when they offset the opposite, the counterfeit of the synonymous term. So we had power as intrinsically mind, because she would say mind possesses all power. There is no other power but the power that is derived from mind. So there you had the intrinsic sense of power being mind. The moment she speaks about the power of spirit, which is a blending or a combination, the moment we speak about the power of spirit, we are only entitled to speak about the power of spirit when the counterfeit is thereby offset. Huh? Yeah. Therefore, only when we see that the power of spirit offsets the so-called power of matter or of the flesh, then a combination is correct. Otherwise, the combination would be incorrect, not scientific. Or that we saw that it is the power of life over the so-called power of death. So you had life combined with power, because the subject is the opposite of life, death. The power of truth over error, the power of love over hate. Can you see that it demands a clear, exact counterfeit that is being offset by a combination? Is this example clear before I state the assignment? Yes? That we have now to begin to combine. Up to now, these assignments all have been within the synonymous term, the pure meaning of the synonymous term. Now, we must start combining them. That's the beginning of a calculus, that we begin to combine an idea of one synonymous term with, now listen to it, with other synonymous term. Yes? I didn't say to combine one idea with ideas of the other synonymous terms. You see the difference? So the next point, 7, would be to culture this. And in order to do this, I make it easy, in a way, by relying on a written statement that is at hand, and on the basis of that written statement, you can first culture your blendings a little bit, and then afterwards free yourself from the written statement. Therefore, the assignment is the following. And I first read you how I have stated it, and you tell me if it is understandable and unmistakably understandable. I think it's now 7. Yes, if we take those from, you will have it on the assignment. Yes, 7. So, I try to be explicit and state it like this. We have seen that an idea of one synonym, can be blended or combined with every other synonym in order to offset a specific counterfeit. Is that clear? We have seen that an idea of one synonym, power of mind, can be blended with every other synonym, power of spirit, power of soul, power of principle, power of life, truth and love, in order to offset a specific counterfeit, the power of spirit, to offset a specific counterfeit, the power of the flesh, to offset a specific counterfeit of life, the power of death, to offset the specific counterfeit of the of love, hate, the power of hate and fear. Yeah? Is that clear, this statement, as a beginning? I made even an indication, see study syllabus 1.6, where the power and the law of mind is used also in conjunction with the other synonyms. I refer here to what we have been doing at syllabus 0.6, where we took all those combination of power and of law, and we studied them and have seen there how when these ideas are combined with other synonymous terms that they were always there to offset the counterfeit. So this is all introduction to what I want to say. Now, take each day one law of handling animal magnetism as presented in my book, Animal Magnetism Unmasked, pages 140 to 162. You know my book on animal magnetism, the red one, the devil one, huh? Or is it hell? Well, there on page 140 to 162, I tried to formulate 7 laws of handling animal magnetism. I took those laws and elaborated them through the 7. Now, if you take the text of those laws as a basis, not as a rosary, but as a basis, to see how we freely can use a law, let's say the law of mind, and then elaborate it through the subtone of mind and spirit and soul and principle, life, truth and love. And each time, naturally, you offset something different. So that you have 7 laws. The assignment I have given in Europe, and I would like to give here, is that a student should be handling animal magnetism daily, as Mrs. Eddy asked it, and instead of handling animal magnetism in an unknown way, you can handle animal magnetism in a very systematic, scientific way by taking one law, say, at a day, and go through that law, but elaborate it through the blending with the 7. For example, the law of mind here in this book states very shortly, divine mind is the all influence. Now you know that influence is an idea of mind in your list. But divine mind is the all influence. And we handle the claim of animal magnetism, the counterfeit. Therefore, there is no other influence. So this is in the book stated as the law of mind. The divine mind is all influence. There is no other influence. Now, this is too rudimentary, too general. We have to see that this influence is, and that the counterfeit influences are manifold, and therefore, in order to cover more or less the whole ground, we elaborate such a law through the seven. And in the book, I have given a example to do that, how to do it. It doesn't mean that this is all what can be said about it. Just give a example how to use the seven synonymous terms. Therefore, what are we doing? If we see that there is that mind is all influence, but we have seen we can combine influence with every synonymous term. The influence of spirit, the influence of soul, the influence of principle, the influence of life, the influence of truth, the influence of love. But when we use the influence in combination with something else, we have to offset the counterfeit influence, the exact counterfeit influence. Therefore, we handle the whole question of right influence and wrong influence through that law which states that the divine mind is all influence, there is no other influence, all right? And now you elaborate it through the seven. So, I go on writing, elaborate the influence of divine mind by blending influence with the seven synonymous terms. Therefore, see what is the influence of mind, the influence of spirit, the influence of soul, the influence of principle, the influence of life, the influence of truth, the influence of love, and state how this influence offsets the counterfeit claims of these synonymous terms. Yes? It's all in here. If you have studied my book, I usually write the books that they are read. But usually people come on and ask me all sorts of questions, and I always say, well, it's in my books. So, for instance, can you see what I have tried? Let me take mind, a spirit, The influence of divine mind, a spirit, is the one pure spirit. So you have the influence of spirit. So spirit, good, places us under the influence of, now comes the influence of spirit, under the influence of the divine good only. The counterfeit, nothing evil, counterfeit of good, nothing evil can influence us. No evil thoughts, no evil intentions, no evil deeds, no evil ambitions can influence us. The influence of spirit, the combination, therefore you must see that it must offset a counterfeit of spirit, the influence of spirit, forces us to relinquish the material and seek the spiritual. dualism and spiritualism have no more influence on us. The only influence which affects us are spiritual reality and progress. Can you see, I have put the whole influence into the realm of spirit and see what is the influence of spirit positively and what does it offset negatively. The moment you come to the influence of mind as soul, naturally the whole thing changes, and we put ourselves under the influence of soul, whatever soul is, and that offsets all the influences of all the counterfeits of soul. It offsets all the influence of the sense testimony, the influence of changeability, of instability, of a sense of captivity and depression and so on. Everything that is not in the balance of soul. So, can you see that in this way you handle the influence of everything, not only the influence of mortal mind, so the influence of mind, but we handle in this way any kind of influence. But we offset it through the influence of mind and the influence of spirit and the influence of soul and of principle, life, truth and love. Naturally, the text you have there is very free in the way that it flows according to an inspiration. And for heaven's sake, take it only as an example, not as a rosary, huh? So that you feel, oh, I'm going to read that every day, huh? Or every Monday I read the law of mind, and every Tuesday I read the law of spirit, and so on. And just read that. Read it first to find out the method, the exact method. When you have found out the exact method, put the book aside. And you go to your whole consciousness of the seven synonymous terms and their counterfeits. And flow in your own inspirational way, but stick to the law. See, the moment I say, flow in your own inspirational way, there is the danger. Then there is the danger of getting away right away into the wilderness, of leaving the law, and that's the danger. But we have seen that Mrs. Eddy's text is very exact. Didn't we see that? That she didn't just use a synonymous term at random, that she used it very, very specifically and exactly. And we have to train ourselves into that. Yes? Now, I should go on. I haven't finished that business of, Take each day one law and ponder it spiritually, not literally. Ponder it spiritually. See what it implies as spiritual impact. Do it each time afresh. Don't write it out for yourself a nice way, just as I have written in the book, and then stick to it. Then you feel, oh, now I have found out a very nice composition on the influence of mind through all the seven, and I have written it out, and perhaps you type it out, and then afterwards you put it on pergament paper or in golden letters or so. And then you see, for all the rest of my life, I have it. Now, every day it should be fresh, so finally do it without any paperwork, just spiritually. But stick to the law. Stick to the law, so that it's powerful. And in this way, we do two things. We culture our consciousness in the system. And at the same time, we do something spiritually, namely we handle animal magnetism for our life. Because if these exercises are done really with a deep spiritual sense and a deep striving sense for reality, it certainly should affect our life, and it certainly should be a terrific protection of our life. So, do it each time afresh until it becomes a law to yourself. at the next seminar, you should be able to give to the class, without notes or memorizing, a treatment by going through one of these laws. I have given this assignment to the class in Berlin for next October, and I will see what happens, that they really should, without notes, really give a treatment to the whole class. I say, please give a treatment on ending animal magnetism, take the law of spirit. It should be, in a year, it should be cultured to that point where you can then lean backward and give a good treatment just on the law, say, of spirit, handling animal magnetism, through the seven. Yeah? I don't know if that means that nobody comes back next year. But you were afraid for this year, and you survived. So you will survive next year. Yeah? So this would be what Mrs. Eddy asked of every one of his students, to handle animal magnetism each day. So I don't ask, actually, not yet any new study. These are all in-betweens. I have another in-betweens. Just going one step further. And you see, just one little step further now. Namely, I do now what we have been saying before. Exercise, that would be point eight, I think. Exercises of blending an idea of one synonymous term with ideas of all other synonymous terms. It's blending an idea with the ideas of the other synonymous terms. That's the shortest way. What is the difference between this and the question before? Before we had blend an idea of a synonymous term with the other synonymous terms. What is the influence of spirit, the influence of soul, influence, remained influence, influence, influence. Always together with a synonymous term. Now, we can drop the synonymous term and blend just an idea of one synonymous term with other ideas of the other synonymous terms. You know that we have done that 2 years ago in the class at a seminar on the seven synonymous terms for God in Wilmington, 75, and its tape. We have made such an exercise, you remember, with intelligence. And we have taken intelligence through the seven. Then we have taken a counterfeit, namely penalty, and I've put it through the seven. I've seen what is penalty from the point of view of mind and spirit and soul and principle and life, truth and love, you remember. So we must start seeing how we free ourselves from the atomistic use of an idea. Therefore, as we have shown 2 years ago, intelligence, we can say, the problem that we have to meet may be ignorance, and therefore in metaphysics we say ignorance is the counterfeit of intelligence, and therefore in a general way we would work about intelligence of mind. Because we know intelligence is an idea of mind, we would say, all right, but intelligence is an idea of mind, and therefore mind has all intelligence, and we would go out from mind as the all intelligence. Now this is not enough, because this would mean that the intelligence of mind is separate from the whole of being. We must see the intelligence of mind as blending with the whole of being. Therefore, we can define intelligence more closely by blending intelligence not so much with the other synonymous term, but with idea, with specific ideas of the other synonymous term. So we would say, for instance, we have intelligence. Now, if we begin to blend it with an idea of spirit, we, for instance, could see that that intelligence unfolds always, because spirit has to do with unfolding. It's therefore an unfolding intelligence. Or you can see, according to the question and the consideration, that the intelligence is spiritual and therefore not material, not dependent on your brain, because it's spiritual, it's not dependent on a material intelligence like brain. So you have intelligence combined with spiritual, intelligence is spiritual, you blend it with an idea of soul, and you see this intelligence is unchangeable. The spiritual intelligence is unchangeable, an idea of soul is unchangeable. It doesn't come and go. The claim may be that I know what I should know, but I don't know if I will know it the right moment I should know it. Meaning it comes and goes, it has no identity, it has no unchangeable identity. So you begin to realize that that intelligence in soul is unchangeable. You ask further about an idea in principle, and you begin to see that this intelligence, which is spiritual and unchangeable, has within itself operative and demonstrative power. This intelligence applies itself. I don't have to apply it. Principle shows that it apply itself, so intelligence, I begin to see, demonstrates itself, applies itself, proves itself. And so you go on to life and see this intelligence that is spiritual and unchangeable and applies itself is an eternal intelligence or an irrepressible intelligence. And you come to truth and see that this intelligence is conscious of itself. I don't have to be conscious about intelligence, but intelligence is conscious of itself. Intelligence has dominion. And finally, you combine it with an idea of love, and you see that this intelligence is acting within a terrific big plan, and therefore is bringing out something quite enormous, the plan of love. Can you see what you do? What you do with every idea. In the ordinary way of thinking in the Christian Science field, you just say, oh, there is no ignorance. There is intelligence. And mind is all the intelligence. And there they stop. They stop that mind is all the intelligence. That mind has all intelligence. That there is only the intelligence of mind. They just stick there, you see. Whereas we have now to see that every idea is only then an idea. Intelligence is only then intelligence when it reflects all other qualities of all the other synonymous terms. And therefore only in this way we get a really big, warm, round sense of the term intelligence. Can you see what we can do now? Instead of having just the list of terms, we now see that every idea reflects every other idea. And therefore, make these exercises. I remember, you know, we were in a very fortunate position when we knew little. You know a lot. You have about 100 books of the Foundational Book Company at hand, and you don't know which one to read and where to start, and there are thousands and thousands of pages, and you don't know really what to do, and finally you don't know where to start and what you get. At our time we were in a very fortunate position, we knew little. We only had the synonymous terms, that's all. So we had to be quite happy with those seven synonymous terms for about 6, 7, 8 years. And that was our safety. That was the safety of this idea, that for so long we just had to use only the seven synonymous terms. So what we did all through those many years, whatever we were treating, you know, whatever the problem came up, I think no day passed without that we would do 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 such combinations, wherever the problem would come up in the practice and you had somehow an idea that was the governing fact about the situation, instead of saying this is a fact of being, this is an idea of being, this is an idea of God, and that's that. Or perhaps go a step further and say this is an idea of life, and therefore as an idea of life it's God. We began to culture that and say, well, if it's an idea of life, it must, through the synonymy principle, reflect all the other ideas too. So naturally you get a much bigger sense of an idea. Just as I showed you with intelligence, it's quite a difference if we just say mind is intelligent, the mind is all intelligent, there is no intelligence but the intelligence of mind, and that intelligence is the intelligence of mind, and mind is all intelligence. You stick there somewhere in the corner.